Before dawn the following morning, while most of the city was still sleeping off the effects of the good strong beer, Nefer sought out Taita in his private quarters in one of the old buildings. Taita looked up from the papyrus scroll he was reading by the flickering yellow light of an oil lamp. "Are you occupied with some important matter?" Nefer asked with strange diffidence. "You can see that I am," said Taita. But resignedly he began to roll the scroll onto its wooden spine. For a while Nefer wandered aimlessly round the room, pausing to examine some articles that the old man had collected since they'd been here in Galala, preserved skins of colourful birds, skeletons of small mammals and reptiles, oddly shaped pieces of dry wood, or plants and other amorphous substances in bowls or bottles or bags that were piled on the benches or in odd recesses. Taita waited patiently for him to come to the reason for this visit, though he knew well enough what it must be. Nefer picked up a fossil of some antediluvian crustacean and held it to the lamplight. "Mentaka is no longer married to Trok," he said without looking up. "Stone deaf as I may be in both ears, even I was able to make that out." Nefer replaced the fossil and took up a copper statuette of Isis with the infant Horus sitting in her lap and nursing at her breast, that Taita had dug up from beneath the city walls. It was coated with a rich layer of green verdigris. "What are the restrictions placed on the marriage of a king under the statutes of Khefren?" he inquired casually. Taita picked his nose thoughtfully and examined what he'd received at the end of his forefinger. "Like any other bride, his wife should be free to marry, neither a virgin nor a widow," he said.
"Or divorced by her husband?"
"Or divorced by her husband, or by the decree of the reigning pharaoh," Taita nodded. "And before he is deified or married, the king should be ordained in his sovereignty." "To be ordained, Pharaoh must have reached his majority, which I've not, or taken his godbird, which I've attempted but failed, or must have become an adept of the Red Road." Nefer paused and went on, "which I have not yet." He emphasized the last word, and Taita blinked but did not reply. Nefer set down the idol and looked at Taita with determination. "I intend to run the Red Road." Taita studied him in silence. "You are not yet at your full growth and strength."
"I'm grown enough and strong enough." "Who will ride with you?"
"Meren," said Nefer firmly. "There are others stronger and more experienced who might be of greater help to you. There will be many who would dearly love to gather the hair braid of a pharaoh of the Tamosian line." "I have promised, Meren," said Nefer firmly. Two puppies tripping over their own paws in their enthusiasm and ignorance, Taita thought. But instead he said, "There are no unbroken horses in Galara, at least none that would answer the purpose."
"I know where to find them. Nager and Trok have left all the remaining herds of Egypt unguarded."
Taita did not bother to point out the fallacy of that assertion. The false pharaohs had left more veteran troops to guard Egypt than ever they'd taken with them on the adventure to Mesopotamia. But he knew that Nefer was not inclined to listen to any argument that ran contrary to his fixed intention. "If you fail in the attempt, you will lose much more than your hair. You will lose so much prestige that your claim to the throne might fail also."
"I shall not fail," Nefer said quietly.
Taita had anticipated that exact reply. "When do you intend to attempt the Red Road?" he asked.
"First I must have my horses,"